partisans.
The Special Human Services Committee meeting of Tuesday, January 21st, 2014. The time is 6:32. The chair will call the committee to order. Ms. Davis, could you please call the roll?
Sure.
You can't pay me enough to move that footage. I must have driving.
Okay. David Holman?
Present.
Boyd Frederick?
Disorganized.
Anita Johnson?
Here.
Erin Decker? She is excused. She's on vacation, she said. David Arrington? Did he call you at all? Angie Montemuro?
Here.
Dave Mudo?
Here.
Lindsay Allen?
Here.
Alicia Skalitsky? Nope.
Agenda item number two, citizen comments. Are there any citizens wishing to speak? Please approach the committee, state your name and address for the record. You have 5 minutes. Seeing none, citizen comments are closed. Agenda item three, Brookside. Resolution for approval of Brookside Care Center's compliance program, including the compliance plan and code of conduct.
Hello there. Good evening, Chairman. My name is Kelly Deem. I'm the business manager at Brookside Care Center. And what this resolution is that we have to be in compliance as we accept the federal funding through Medicare and Medicaid. So because of that, we have to do a compliance plan that keeps us in the audit fraud and abuse, that we're not, you know, taking federal money and, you know, doing things that we should be. So this program, the compliance plan itself, is the actual program of what we need to do to be in compliance. And I am the compliance officer, so that's why I'm here. And any questions? You want more of an explanation of the compliance?
I would.
Supervisor Johnson, you have the floor.
Actually, could you just give us a brief overview?
What the compliance plan is that Medicare requires us to be in compliance with the program because we accept federal money through our claims processing for our residents. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the state Medicaid, because it is federal money that comes in. Mm-hmm. And what we have to do is we have to have a program that all our staff follow. Our contracted vendors like our therapy department and that. What we have to do is we have to make sure that everything that's on that claim is valid. It's a service that was actually provided, and that's through documentation, you know, our electronic medical records that we have. Everything has to be documented that's on that claim. So when we submit it for payment, we have to be able to prove that we actually provided the service.
Okay.
And the plan, what it is also, is that we have to have a program in place where the employees have a right to, if they see something that they feel is fraudulent, they can anonymously, you know, come to me, come to a supervisor, or they don't have to be anonymous. They can come and say that they have an issue and they feel that something's not, you know, valid, and we have to follow a procedure for it.
Anything else, Supervisor?
No.
Actually, Chairman.
I just have a quick question. Obviously, I see the need for this, but how long have we been receiving these funds?
Well, forever. Probably forever with the program.
Are we just now putting together a plan?
Compliance has been around for a long time, and facilities have been compliant through policies and procedures and that. What this does, Medicare, you know, every so often they come along with something that they say, you know, you're supposed to be doing this, but now we want to see more of, you know, the actual procedures and policies in place. So what we have to do is have this resolution done through for the compliance plan, just so that everybody is aware of what's going on, because Medicare actually this year is starting to use some of their surveys. So it's been around. It has been in the process. It's something we do every day. We audit our claims, we audit our vendors, but this is really the you know, policy that says we actually have to do this and that we are following it now.
This is some part of the Affordable Care Act that so the state feds will now be surveying us under the compliance plan to make sure that we're following it. We've always been, you know, like Kelly said, we've always been under scrutiny for, and we had to attest that we were compliant whenever we accept the federal funds, but this is more an unofficial instrument.
I got it. No problem. That explains to me why all of a sudden we need a plan and we didn't have a plan before. Okay, thank you.
And on page 2 and 3, there's number 1 through 10. Those are basically the main things that we're going to be accomplishing in this compliance plan. You know, it covers the training and how employees can communicate down and up the line, that we have a code of conduct that we educate and we do it yearly. This is part of our compliance plan, is meeting with the Human Services Board to say this is what we're doing and getting your approval. We have audit tools that we have to do to make sure that, you know, we're doing what we're supposed to do. Another thing Kelly's office does is every month they go through all of our employees and all of our contractors and run it through the OIG to see, to make sure that we're not utilizing anyone who has been excluded from Medicare or Medicaid program.
And that is a requirement. So we have been following that. So that's a monthly.
Anything else, Mr. Chairman?
No, I'm good, thank you. That explains it.
Supervisor Marchbrook?
Just 2 questions. So since you're in charge of billing, it makes sense that you're the compliance officer. So for now, that's what we're going to do. And then it says that we, as the Human Services Board, are responsible for this, correct? So that's what this says.
You're responsible to, because we are part of Human Services. So we have to answer to you, but then we also are answering to the county board, and then the county executive is the alternate.
So if there's a violation, will we hear about it?
Yes.
Okay.
It does,
yes,
state in here,
so
that we have
come
to
us.
Yes.
Okay.
And we have to come back to you on an annual basis, I believe is what it says, that will come back to you. Or if there's something that comes up that, you know, building
it
the,
comes here.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Supervisor Johnson, do you have
I do. I had assumed that most of this was already being done. On a plan, a formal plan, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So the major differences with this, and I think that's kind of what I wanted from the overview, what I'm kind of assuming too from what you said is more the reporting that you put in place for people for reporting of fraud. Is that kind of the addition to the plan that you previously had been practicing?
Yes. Because okay. We have to, for survey purposes, and that we have to be able to prove that people have been able to come to us, and then what do we do with it once they do? We
okay.
have to, you know, follow up with it and determine whether it's valid or not and take it from there.
Okay.
One, just an example is, say for example, we have a therapist who documents that they provided services, but somebody, another staff member, knows that they didn't, you know, then that's something they can, you know, come to us and state, and then we have to, you know, follow through with it and document it.
Got it. Motion to approve.
Oh, let the record show Supervisor Arrington has just joined us. Just for a quick informational note, this is something that's actually been talked about a lot at the federal level. Congress recognizes this to be a major expenditure, so it is something that they and their staff do monitor and do reports on, congressional district, by state, and so forth. It's also something that the USGAO, the General Accountability, Government Accountability Office, which is the federal equivalent to like our state legislative fiscal bureau that does these kinds of analyses, audit bureau, has come along and issued a series of reports on how to tighten things down so that it's more efficient and to crack down on fraud, and there's serious fines and litigation when this stuff is done. So it's no surprise to see this report being talked about for quite a while, even before the Affordable Care Act. This is now getting around to doing something at a federal level. So, thank you. Any other questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I've motioned to approve.
Motion to approve by Supervisor Johnson. Second by Supervisor. All in favor? Oh, wait. You think I'm
Aye.
Chair for time. Agenda item number 4. Resolution for approval to use 2013 operating surplus for facility repairs and capital purchases and replacements.
looks like I stepped on this, so it's been through several committees. It's a little worn now. I know you received this in your packet. Would it please the committee if I go through this a little bit, or do you have any questions? Do you want me to go through it? Okay. We have several things that are going on at Brookside, which is 20 years old now, and we've got systems failing, equipment failing, things that we couldn't plan for in advance. We try to budget in advance, anticipating something breaking, but you just can't always. So we have some major repairs and some other items we would like to have included in this budget mod. The loading dock has a big rust spot in it, and one day it's going to bust through, and then we won't be able to bring supplies in and out of the facility. So we would like to replace that loading dock. It is a safety hazard, and that's a $9,750 project. We have the fashion cylinder fluorescent lights in the hallways throughout the facility. And last year or so, we learned that the way they were installed really compliant with NFPA, National Fire Protection Association. And we are surveyed under that for the state life safety. And we would like to change this out. We kind of thought, to tell you the truth, it was underway through facilities. Because I know the whole county was looking at doing this, because it is cost efficient with LED lighting too. But I think somehow with retirements of the county staff and public works and things, it kind of got lost. So we have rediscovered that we need to get this done, and then it would make it smoke tight in our ceilings, which is very important for compliance. And that's $63,000, and that would replace all of our lights. If we actually had to go ahead, if we got cited on this and we didn't do the lighting, it would cost three times as that much to repair. So we don't want to go down that road. You remember we had a burglary several months ago. They accessed the front door, and when we looked at security issues and things surrounding that, we realized that we require our employees who come in on night shift at 7 o'clock to park in the front parking lot, but we don't have a way for them to get in other than the nurse having to leave the nurse's station and come and unlock the door. So we would like to install a card reader, which my ID is in my purse, but you just swipe and it opens the door, but I have to continually get up, and that way we can keep it locked. A lot of times what they do is open it up for a period of time for nights to get in, and it's just safer and a better policy. This is something we knew about. Our sprinkler pipes were leaking on the forewing, and we did have a capital project last year to replace those pipes, repair them. We ran out of money, able to get the 700 haul done and the hub area where the nurse's station is. So we would like some $30,000 to finish that project so our sprinkler pipes are no longer leaking.
We actually did find another leak.
Yeah, we have another leak. So.
And they're not sure where it's at.
Several years back, again, with the ceiling repairs, we learned several years ago at a survey time that, and we were cited on where the smoke compartment doors are. They looked up in the ceiling tiles and realized there were screws that were not mudded and taped, and they should have been. So we fixed those right away for the state survey to be compliant. And I asked the maintenance folks to look around the rest of the building and see if we have any more issues before we get, you know, again cited. We realized the entire building, none of the screws were mudded or taped. So we did have some money that we were able to repurpose to complete that project. We're about in the last 2 to 3 weeks, and the budget is really, really, really tight. So I'm asking for $5,000 to be added in this budget mod, because we don't want to stop the project, then try and go get money, reactivate the crew, bring their equipment back in. So as a contingency. And I just learned yesterday that could find another area that has got 2x4s coming out of the ceiling that should be where all the attic doors are, that should be covered with drywall. And so if we have enough money, that's what we're going to do. We're going to finish that off. So we have to have floors that are in good repair, no cracks, no missing pieces, etc. And I found two floors, actually I found three, that have cracks, missing pieces, and we need to have, you know, you have to have a solid surface. It's really important for safety and also important for infection control. So we would like to repair those floors. Actually replace them. As you know, we contracted out our laundry service, and we have these huge, giant commercial washers that we are planning to sell to the some bidder, I don't know. But we realize that we do need to have a small washer and dryer in the facility, because every now and then we have to wash somebody's clothes that we can't wait 3 or 4 days, or we have to wash something that we can't wait 3 or 4 days to come back from the laundry. And it just it's just something that helps us give our you know, five-star service to our consumers. So that was $11,400. Last but not least, you know, we've been studying, looking at the future side, and is there expansion, etc. Initially, we retained Whipley, the firm who did the initial work, and as the project was ended, we had some more work that we wanted them beyond the scope of their original contract. So they continued working with us, and they kind of included some of it into the original project, you know, even though that's not what we had asked, but they said, oh, well, we'll do it. But they did run over now, and they gave us a nice $4,000 discount, but we still owe them $6,800. It totals to $145,000, and I want to remind the committee, because I love saying this, in our budget this year for 2013, we planned on a $320,000 profit that we booked in as a line item to go give back to the county, and we met that and raised it, and I think we're going to probably come in at the end of the year an additional $250,000 to $300,000. So we certainly do have the money to cover this.
Questions?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Nudo, second by Supervisor French. Youth and Government.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye.
Thank you.
Agenda item 5, such other businesses authorized by law. I don't believe there's any. Agenda item 6, committee member comments. Any committee members want to comment? Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Frederick, second by Supervisor Johnson. Youth and Government.
Thank you.
Aye.
Committee.
Yep.
Aye. The committee is adjourned.
Well, we've taken the whole scene.
Thank you.
Right. This was from Doug Barton.
All the way down to the school.
Can I use your pen again?
Wait.
It's a supervisor. Never have.
No, we do.
No, I don't.
Some of us have gone digital, and that's why we don't. Thank
you. Okay. Everybody knows the whole thing now has been exposed.